This is Sunday Extra on ABCRN. I'm Hugh Remington. Now, in modern life, particularly urban life, we are, of course, assailed with sound. There's no escaping the thrum and hiss of the city, but some sounds are designed to catch our attention. Sirens of naturally and car alarms and ringtones. And it doesn't end if you're sick. As far back as the 1850s, the founder of modern nursing, Florence Nightingale, declared unnecessary noise to be the cruelest absence of care. Yet, discordant beeps and alarms are the constant backdrop for people who are unfortunate enough to be in a hospital bed, sometimes in mortal danger. And Judy Edworthy, a professor of applied psychology at the University of Plymouth, is at the leading edge of a global campaign to end all those nasty noises, to rethink and change the sound of alarms in our lives and particularly in our hospitals. Professor Edworthy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What got you interested in this subject?
Well, I used to study the psychology of music because I was a musician and psychologist by training. And I've been interested in alarms, audible alarms, for a very long time because of my interest in the psychology of music. And my attention was drawn to the particular problem in healthcare, which we refer to as alarm fatigue, where alarms just keep going off all the time. Quite a lot of the time, people don't know what they mean. Also, they're quite shrill, irritating, and difficult to tell apart. It's like it's almost like a soundtrack. You go into a hospital and the alarms are kind of like the soundtrack to the activity. And a lot of the time, they're not actually telling you anything useful at all.
So are they designed, those hospital alarms, were they originally designed to send distinct separate signals to nursing staff and medical staff as to what precisely might be a problem?
No, I think because they were developed at a time where the technology wasn't advanced enough, that they were simply designed to attract attention. Really, that was done by making them loud and quite aversive. So I think the philosophy was, as long as they could do that, then the more subtle things that an alarm might tell you were kind of overlooked. But of course, now we have the technology to do much more with sound.
So when you have an alarm which has the primary task of alerting people to something that's bad, of course you want it to cut through. That would be the initial piece of thinking. So here's a bit of sound. This is one that's used in hospital. It's called artificial perfusion, and it sounds like this. Now, I'm advised that that is called it's a musical tritone. It is known as the devil's interval. Why is that?
Ah, right. The devil's interval. It's in music. It's known as the augmented fourth. And it's a very complicated. The ratio of the two frequencies of the two notes is very complicated, and therefore it makes it dissonant. So by making it dissonant, it sounds different from the other alarms. I might just say that these alarms, that one is an example of the current international standard, and all of the alarms in that standard, and they all have the same rhythm as that sound, which means that the actual pitches are different, but they all have that same duh, 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 duh rhythm, and it makes them hard to tell apart. And in fact, Professor Penelope Sanderson, who is Australian, works at Queensland University of Technology, has demonstrated that those alarms are very hard to tell apart.
And one of the points of that, of course, is to draw attention because it is discordant. In fact, there's a suggestion that particular tone was flogged off an old movie, The Wizard of Oz. Here's the original from the movie. And for that very reason, that it tends to catch the ear, it was used in an alarm. There's another one called drug delivery, which we might have a listen to. So that one's supposed to signal to staff what exactly, do you think?
That would be a good point to make because it has, of course, has the same rhythm as the other sound that you just played, the artificial perfusion sound. All of those sounds are very confusing, and they don't tell you anything about what's actually going on, because we understand sound by there being an association between the sound itself and the object or the event that it's representing. And you have to learn that one. Okay, you have to learn that sound means drug delivery, and it takes some time to do that.
So you have proposed a different sound to signify that it's time to deliver some drugs to a patient. And I think this is the sound that that you think would be more applicable. Now, what's the advantage of that sound?
Well, there's a huge advantage in that sound, and we've done a lot of research to demonstrate that there are many, many advantages to using a sound like that. The main advantage is it's very, very easy to learn, because once you've learned that the rattling pill bottle means drug delivery, you're not going to forget that, because, of course, there's already a strong association between a pill bottle and drugs, because it is a drug, okay? It's a it's not even a metaphor, it's actually the sound. So it's very easy to learn sounds when the thing that they represent is close to what you think it should sound like.
To what degree also are those noises, particularly the ones which are discordant alarms that seem to shriek for your attention, when someone is in a hospital, ill, anxious, feeling definitely that things are not right in their bodies, and you're hearing these alarms going off in an unfamiliar place, a somewhat threatening place like a hospital, how much does that, is there any science on this, does that lead to an increase in anxiety and then higher stress levels in the patient, which may work against their recovery?
Yes, it certainly does. I mean, it can contribute to delirium. And also, when the patients don't know what the sounds mean, and sometimes, in fact, the staff don't know what the sounds mean either, that can be very distressing. And it's also distressing for the relatives and friends of the patient, because they're wondering what the sounds mean as well. And because they're all very kind of shrill and attention seeking, you assume that they're signifying something very urgent or important or even life threatening. And most of the time, they're not.
Now, this has obviously become a passionate cause for you. How easy is it to turn around thinking in places that are so inherently full of demands on them as hospitals and medical systems around the world, so that they do actually listen to what you've got to say and change these practices?
That is the key to the thing, that a culture change in thinking about how sound is used in hospitals is really needed. And because people have, it's almost, we kind of believe that alarms should sound a particular way. And the way to do it really is to educate through manufacturers, to talk to manufacturers of medical devices, but also to change the regulations or the standards that govern how, for example, the alarms should sound. And that's what we've been working towards, to get the global standard on the safety of medical devices updated.
So will we then, because these are international standards you're trying to achieve, will we in future, hopefully in the not too distant future, in Australian hospitals hear, well, a quieter life on the ward with much more subtle and deliberative alarms coming from the medical equipment?
I very much hope so. And I feel that we've worked very hard to carry out a lot of experiments testing the ease with which you can learn these alarms, the degree to which you can tell where they're coming from, how they work in simulation and so on. We've worked very hard to show that these alarms are far superior in almost every way to the existing ones. And we hope that people will be persuaded by that data and start to think about how they can make their alarm sounds effective, but more gentle.
Well, it might seem an obscure cause when looked at superficially, but it certainly seems an entirely worthy one, and hopefully we'll be hearing the benefits of it in our hospitals and our wards in the not-too-distant future. Professor Judy Edworthy, Professor of Applied Psychology at the University of Plymouth, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.